You know what God was telling him? God reminded him about the rod he has given him to do whatever he needs. So God gives a man a message and a method. Look at that rod that Moses used. He used that same rod to do all the 10 plagues that God asked him to do. When they stood before the Red Sea in the book of Exodus, chapter 14, verse 15, the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me?" I tell you, God has given methods to people, but they have not been sensitive to be faithfully applying those methods. And many times they face a Red Sea, and they cannot cross, and they forgot the God who used them before. God told Moses, "Why do you cry to me?" Verse 16. "But lift up your rod." See, Moses had one method. If he ever lose his rod, that is the end of him. That was special, his rod. Elisha, the mantle. I tell you, when you must imagine what it was like when Elijah gave and imparted a double portion anointing as he was going off. He took that mantle that he wore and dropped it off. That was like an old piece of skin. Imagine, for all those years, Elijah had been wearing it. I don't know how often he washed it. But here he was, and he drops it down on Elisha. Elisha takes it, takes his nice looking skin and toy, puts that old piece on him. I tell you, whenever it was on him, that anointing was there, together with the smell. And I could imagine, he never parted with it all his life. See, they operate by mantles. Now perhaps there are different areas. Let me talk about the anointing. Some of you have had men of God lay hands on you, and you knew in your spirit. Sometimes you have a tangible manifestation at the same time you had the impartation. Sometimes you don't have it. It comes later, but you have a knowing in you that something has happened. And there are certain points in your life when you really need the anointing, or you felt that it's not there. You must recall the incident until you could see it clearly. A lot of men of God lay hands on me, and every time in the early days of the ministry, before we started our present church, we're having all kinds of difficulties that you face, both natural and spiritual. But I always remember when I was in the office of John Osteen, and together with my wife, he laid hands on us and he imparted his anointing upon our lives. Now that carried for us. And now, of course, I also remember this time when Benny Hinn laid hands on me and said, "What I have, give it to you." So I recall, I remember them. And it's important for us to remember with clarity the impartation. Because somehow, today, the impartation all came with words through hand. So you cannot cut the hand and take it with you. Right? But in the Old Testament times, they impart to these objects. And especially, when the Lord anointed me, the Lord appeared to me, and He anointed, and He specified certain things. He specified certain things, and I keep true to them, the methods of operation. And I don't go into some areas that others would do. Because it's for them, not for me. So we all must know that boundaries, that there are certain methods that God may let you flow in. So Moses, for Moses, he had his rod. Moses had his rod. In the early days of Oral Roberts, now when I mention all these men of God, it's just to encourage you, and I know that any name I mention, you sure find fault with somebody somewhere. But let's take it positively. You can learn from everybody, whatever things that you may agree or disagree with them. I don't agree with it. Everyone I may have quoted, but there are certain differences. I may not approve of certain things and certain methods. But then I take it positively. I rather learn from everybody than criticize and run everybody down as if you're the big fat judge. In the early days of Oral Roberts' ministry, when he was in a tent ministry, God had one method he must always use: laying on of hands. And he would have thousands line up. And that was the method God used: laying hands. And when he laid hands on people, some felt like electric shock going through them. But that was his special method that God asked him to use. Catherine Kuhlman always operated through the word of knowledge. That was the pattern by which God operated through her life. Every time the anointing came, that was the same method that she flowed with. And you notice there are other sub-products in her method. She always needs a fantastic musician behind her. There's a method that she flowed by. So Moses had his rod that was necessary. I tell you, after that lesson in Exodus 14, Moses knew. Moses knew now. Every difficulty he had, he doesn't have to ask God anymore, because God has given him a measure, a delegated authority. He must learn how to use it. Here in the book of Exodus, immediately after they crossed over, they had a fantastic battle going on in chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17. And it tells us here, in verse 8, that Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, "Choose us some men," Exodus 17, verse 9, "choose us some men and go out and fight with Amalek." And notice, he never even said he sought the Lord. But here, they had to fight. And he says, "I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand." Moses learned to operate the anointing upon his life. So when Moses' hands were up, Joshua was doing a fantastic job. All the Israelites were running against the enemy. One chased 1,000, two chased 10,000. So Moses' hands was holding that rod. That rod was important. Every time Moses hold up the rod, something special happened. Oh, if I could travel to time, I would just love for a short moment to have a look at Moses' rod. Every time he lifted it up, something special happened. That was fantastic. Sacred. Every time his hand goes up with the rod, you can imagine something is going to happen. In fact, most of the plagues, every time we talk about how the plague appear, the rod came, that was it. Powerful sign that God used. Next, he was holding that rod up with his hand. You could imagine, as he was holding that rod up with his hand, that his hands grew tired slowly. Just like some of you lifting out your hands to worship God. I suddenly see a person worship God for 1 hour with the hands, like an arm wrestler. No, after some time, they go this way, then this way, sometimes on the chair. "I worship you." And as Moses' hand was coming down and the rod was coming down, somehow in the spiritual realm, something was happening. As his hand came down, as Joshua was fighting, he said, "That's funny. Why am I losing? Same Joshua, same muscle, same man. But when the rod came down, he was losing. He said, hey, something is happening. Quickly, Aaron and Hur held Moses' hand. Come on, Moses. When his hand went up, Joshua felt the strength. Ah, and then he goes forward. It's a good thing Moses didn't go this way. They'll be like cartoon, you know. But just to let you know how important that rod was that God gave to Moses. God prepared the man, God prepared a special message, and God prepared that method that he was to use. And as he faced Pharaoh in the book of Exodus, Pharaoh was another person whom Moses confronted. When Moses confronted Pharaoh in the book of Exodus chapter 5, God gave Moses three signs: the sign of his hand, the sign of the rod, and the sign of blood. All three point to our redemption in the Lord Jesus Christ. The rod represents the power of his resurrection. The hand represents a manifestation of the power of resurrection, healing. The blood represents judgment. Judgment for sin, which is the root of all sicknesses. Now don't jump to the conclusion that doesn't mean that all sickness are caused by personal sin. No. All sicknesses generally, the Bible tells us, flow and open door is sin. It could be a general sin. That's like an innocent child run over by a drunkard driver. It's the sin of the driver, not the child. It's a general sin of society. So, we'll get into that kind of teaching more as we go along. But here, we continue the book of Exodus. We see how the blood is a symbol of judgment. Sin is judged. All the three signs have one primary message. That is the power of his resurrection. Now, pay a note to that because that is very important in our study through the book of Exodus as we compare it to the work of the Church of God. Now, let's look at Pharaoh as he confronts Pharaoh. Many of you reading the book of Exodus are puzzled by what God said about Pharaoh. Even in chapter 4, verse 21. Lord said to Moses, when you go back to Egypt, see that you do all these wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in your hand. But I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go. You must understand that that word, I will, is in the Hebrew permissive. I will allow his heart to be hardened. I won't prevent him. In the Hebrew, there's a special tense called the permissive tense. You read this, you'll find the same thing occurring again in the book of 1 Samuel when it says the Lord sent an evil spirit to Saul. It is actually the Lord allowed an evil spirit to be sent to Saul. He did not protect Saul at all the way he normally would. It was in a permissive sense. Now, when he permits something, it is because a law and an open door had been given to the devil.